Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vochim Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin the Gemara for today's shiur from the third line from the top at the word Itmar, let us glance at the topic heading, one of the features we supply in our pre-marked Shas Ozer edition of Gemara Markings. On the outside margin, you'll see that which we've written in under the title No Say, topic heading, Chatzi Zayas Chutz Lizmanoi, Chatzi Zayas Chutz Lemkoimoi, V'chatzi Zayas Chutz Lizmano. This is what a person who's offering a korban might say. Of course, it's incorrect to do this. He's getting himself involved with a problem of ruining the korban with incorrect thoughts. But the question here is, do these chatzi zesim add up to one another? In order for an incorrect thought to be of consequence, it has to be a thought concerning the eating of a korban in its wrong, after its time lapses, or in an incorrect place, but it must concern a minimum shiur, a minimum amount, quantity of meat. In this case, the minimum quantity is a kezias, an olive size amount of meat. In the example that we have cited here, you'll notice we've used different types of dashed underlines. Chutz Lizmano appears before and after his intention of eating a chatzi zayas chutz lemkomo in the wrong place. Do the issues or the examples of the chatzi zesim of zman join up with one another? And if they do, you'll then have two halves of a kezias, two halves equaling a whole kezias of chutz lizmano, and only a half a kezias of chutz lemkomo. And as we mentioned a moment ago, a half a zayas is a type of thought that is of no consequence. So you would be left with a chutz lizmano thought alone, because it would be an amount, it would contain the required minimum amount, namely a kezias, by our having joined up the two half kezasim on either side of the chutz lemkomo. So regarding this issue, our note continues to say, LaRava yesh tziruf shel hazman liois pigol. Rava says that we will connect the two half kezasim of zman to form a full kezias, to create a problem of pigol. Pigol being the offense involved in a korban that was processed with a chutz lizmano intention, a wrong time intention, and the subsequent eating of that meat. As we've spoken at length in previous shurim, this offense carries with it a kores penalty. The Rav Hamnuna, our note goes on to say, Eruv machshavas havi. This is considered a mixing of mindsets. In other words, the chutz lemkomo mind idea or thought that he had mixes together or overlaps with the chutz lizmano, initial chatzi zayas of chutz lizmano, thereby preventing the second chutz lizmano from joining up and thereby pushing out the chutz lemkomo thought. The Gemara will present a number of other examples along these lines a little bit later on the Omid, on the page, as we go on. However, let's now turn to the opening piece of Gemara, Itmar. Three lines from the top of Lamed Aleph. Chatzi zayas chutz lizmano, chatzi zayas chutz lemkomo, v'chatzi zayas chutz lizmano. as we mentioned, this person has the intention of, while he's slaughtering the animal, he has an intention of eating a half a zayas in the wrong time, outside of the allotted time, another half zayas in the wrong place, let's say outside Yerushalayim, that he would eat a chatzi zayas, and another chatzi zayas chutz lizmano, outside of the right time. Omar Rava v'ikatz ki yoshein hapigol, the like a slumbering individual arises from his sleep, the second chatzi zayas arouses the first chatzi zayas, and they join together to form pigol. Let's glance at Rashi. V'yikatz kiyoshin hapigol kevon shemotzu chatzi zayas harishon es chatzi hazayas ha'acharon shehu minoi. When the first chatzi zayas finds, so to speak, the second chatzi zayas of chutz lizmano, it's the third chatzi zayas in this example, but it's the second chatzi zayas of wrong time. Ni'ur mishinoso, the first chatzi zayas is said to wake up from its sleep, u mi bitulo, and from its having been voided. Skipping the brackets for a moment, v'chozer mitstarif imze lefagel, and it joins up with the second chatzi zayas of chutz lizmano to create pigol. Let's go over the Rashi again, this time reading the bracketed section. We said that the chatzi zayas rishon of chutz lizmano finds the second chatzi zayas of chutz lizmano, shuhumino, reading from the line above the brackets, shuhumino ni'ur mishinoso umibitulo, shenitzarif im chutz limkomo lifsol v'lo lefagel, where originally the first chatzi zayas of chutz lizman had joined up with the chatzi zayas of chutz limkom, the mokoim, to create a situation of psul without pigol, because chutz lamokom does not engender a pigol penalty. So when the third chatzi zayas comes on the scene in his mind, v'chozer mitzarif imze lefagel, the third chatzi zayas, which is the second chatzi zayas of wrong time, joins up with the original chatzi zayas of wrong time, ubotel lo chatzi zayas dechutz lemkomo, and they neutralize the half zayas quantity of mindset concerning wrong place, mi lehotzi mide pigol, and it's the chutz lizman to chatzi zayasim neutralize the power of the chutz lemokoyim to have stopped the pigol. In other words, we're neutralizing the chutz lemokom's power to stop the pigol from being chal. The ein chatzi zayas toyo b'mokom kezayas. The chatzi zayas of chutz lemokom is not strong enough to counter the power of the full kezayas formed by these two half zayasim of chutz lezman. V'loi amrinon, we don't say the following. You'll see we have marked the Rashi with singular quotation marks the next three lines. And we don't say the following, that kfar nitzarif im she'etzlo lifsol v'lo yachzer v'yiporid mimeno. And we don't say that the first chatzi zayas joined up of the first chatzi zayas of chutz lizman joined up already with the second chatzi zayas of chutz lamokoim, and they form a situation of psul without any return to pigol. Then we don't say that, and rather Rava maintains that we can arouse the pigol power by the second chatzi zman joining up with the first chatzi zayas of chutz lizmano. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Hamnuna, he argues with Rava, says Omar eruv machshavas havei. This example that we cited above in the Gemara is a function of mixing of machshavos, that since the first chatzi zayas of chutz lizmano got mixed up or got joined with the chatzi zayas of chutz lemokom, it can no longer be separated from the chutz lemokom to join up with the third chatzi zayas, which was the second half zayas of zman. Omar Rava, Meno Aminova. We have a marking here, a diamond phrase, a diamond shape. As we glance to the side of the Gemara, we see a nivne, which is a structural note in our Gemara marking, our Gemara markings in the Shas Ozer, that features Gemara markings. We attempt to provide not only topic headings but also structural notes that feature the role of the different shapes that appear in the text of the Gemara. So, in under our Mivne heading, we have the expression Meno Aminola in quotation marks. That is the phrase featured in the diamonds here. Mekoros Shel Shnei Hashitos Hanal. We're going to be looking for sources for the two opinions that we just heard, namely Rava and Rav Hamnuna. So here we go. Omar Rava Meno Aminola. From where do I know my opinion? We're going to draw from what would seem to be a totally unrelated topic. We're going to talk about the topic of Tumas Oichlin. Food becomes Tomei, and once it becomes Tomei, it has the power of transmitting Tuma to other items, depending, of course, what kind of other items we're talking about. So we will limit ourselves to the realm of food items and include Truma as part of our discussion. Truma is the tithe of produce that is given to the Kohanim. It is something that becomes ruined if it comes into contact with different levels of Tuma. There are different levels beyond. We have one of the highest forms of level of Tuma is the Av HaTuma. There's of course Avi Avos HaTuma that we don't have to involve ourselves with that now. And after an Av HaTuma, there's something called a lower level of Tuma, a Rishon LeTuma, and a lower level than that is a Sheni LeTuma. And beyond that is a Shlishi LeTuma, and that is a situation, that's a stage that Truma can reach, as well as Korbanos. And that happens when they come into contact with a second level of Tuma. A Sheni, if it comes into contact with Truma, it will ruin the Truma, it passels the Truma. That's by way of very general background. What are we striving to see in this piece of Gemara? Since Rava is bringing this topic in as a support for his opinion, we're going to be trying to see, do we see something that was that had been voided become resurrected, resurface later on? Rava said that that's what happens in the case of the Chatzizayas, the two Chatzizesim of the Chutzlizmano on either side of the Chutzlim Komo. The second Chatzizayas reawakens the first Chatzizayas of Chutzlizman. We're going to try to see some type of parallel case of reawakening as we go on in the Gemara. Rav Hamnuna, upon hearing Rava's proof, will have what to say, will have a response to that. But in the meantime, where does Rava get his idea of reawakening? Omar Rava Mino Aminola. Disnan, we have an answer. The answer is labeled a long answer. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a tuf that's encircled, a teretz, with a long vertical dash line indicating the length of the answer is contained in the Gemara's, in the Gemara lines opposite this vertical dash line. Disnan, a Tanaic source. In our marking system, we have Tanaic sources that are, all Tanaic sources in our Gemara markings are placed in frames to set them aside from the rest of the Gemara literature. So here we have a Tanaic source. It's a Mishnah from Maseches Taros. Kebeitza oichel rishon ukebeitza oichel sheni shebolulon ze boze equals rishon. If you have an egg quantity, the word kebeitza is a reference to a certain quantity of food. An egg quantity of food that happened to be a rishon level of tuma, and a kebeitza quantity of food that was a sheni level of tuma. and these two food items were mixed together. Shebolulon zeboze. That mixture will have a status of a first level of tumah. It doesn't drop down in its tumah severity level. The reason for that is because in this mixture there is a kibetza quantity of first level of tumah. In other words, it can't be denied that in this clump of mixed food there is a rishon tumah. So therefore, it will be labeled a first level, with all of the consequences that issue forth from that status. However, Chokan, if you took this clump of food that you had mixed together, the Rishon and Sheni, and then split it in half, so we say that in each half each half is made up of 50% Rishon and 50% Sheni, so that you in effect have, right now, after you split the clump of food, you have now a kibetza of food that's made up, half an egg of this is a Rishon level and half is a Sheni level. So what is the halachic status of each one of these halves? What we say, zeh Sheni vezeh Sheni. Each half will have, since it doesn't have a sufficient quantity, a kibetza quantity of Rishon in it, it therefore has a Sheni status. Ha chozar ve'irvan, Rishon have, however, if he were to mix them up again, after he split them, he would mix them up again, they would become a Rishon status again, a first level once again. What do we see from here? We see a reawakening. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Ho chozar v'irvon Rishon. As will be demonstrated by the end of the very same Mishnah that we just quoted. Almo kishechozar umotza es mino. What do we see from here? That the original, that the first level of tuma that was in that first half meets up with the other chatzi beitza of first level tuma in the second half when they are rejoined. That's what this means. That's motza es mino, ne'ur mitziruf de'she'eno mino. It is aroused and is joins up with the first level and is not blocked by the fact that there is sheni level present. That's the key point, that we see a reawakening of the first level tuma, even though before it was rejoined, that first level tuma that was represented by the chatzi beitza of first level tuma was joined up with a chatzi beitza of second level tuma. That fact doesn't stop the chatzi beitza of first level tuma of joining up with the second chatzi beitza of first level tuma. So by the same token, Rava feels that the presence of the, in the case above, of the chatzi zayas of mekomo that had originally been joined with the chatzi zayas of chutzlis mano, it doesn't block that first chatzi zayas of chutzlis mano from joining up with a second chatzi zayas of chutzlis mano. The Gemara points out that which we just inferred from the Tanaic source of Hochozer ve'irvon, of if you remix, you rejoin the two halves of the food mixture, it gets a Rishon status. Mimai, from where do you know that? Midikotoni Seifa, from the fact that the second part of that Tanaic source says, Nofal ze li'atzmo v'ze la'atzmoi al kikor shel truma poslua. The Seifa there says that if each half fell by itself. What status did we say that each half of that substance had? We said that each half had a sheni status. So as such, each half having a sheni status, if it falls on a loaf of truma, a sheni has the power to ruin truma. Truma is sensitive to tuma, and as such, even though we're talking about a rather low level of tuma, namely a sheni level, it is able to ruin truma. Naflu shnehem ka'achas, if the two halves fall onto the truma simultaneously, or even if the second half falls while the first half is still on the truma loaf, asua shnia, they make the truma loaf into a second level of tuma. How is it possible that they made the truma into a second level tuma? That happens only if you say that that which it touched was a first level of tuma. So we see that from the fact they're able to rejoin and once again become a rishon level of tuma, we see this concept of reawakening illustrated. And it's based on that Rava feels that there can be a reawakening in the case of Pigol when the second Chatzi Zayas of Chutz L'Zmano joins up with the up till now dormant first Chatzi Zayas of Zmano. Why do we say the Chatzi Zayas of the first Chatzi Zayas of Chutz L'Zmano was dormant? Because it had joined up with a Chatzi Zayas of Chutz L'Mekomo, which momentarily may have been seen as neutralizing the first Chatzi Zayas of Chutz L'Zmano. Continuing in the Gemara, V'Rav Hamnuna Omar, Rav Hamnuna, who was against Rava's opinion with regard to the ability of the second Chatzi Zayas of Chutz L'Zmano to reawaken the first Chatzi Zayas of Chutz L'Zmano, he says, from the case of the food that was Tamei, Hosam Ika Shiura, there in the case of the Tuma, the story there started out with a complete shiur, with a required minimum shiur, namely a kabetza of Oichel Rishon. There had been an original full shiur of Rishon Letuma food. Hacha, in the case of the half Zesim story above, Leka Shiura, you didn't start off with a complete shiur of Machsheves Pigol. You started off with a Chatzi Zayas of Chutz L'Zmano. And as being that it never started off from a position of strength, it cannot be reawakened. That's in contrast with the case of the food, where you started off with a complete quantity of Rishon. So even though it was dulled or neutralized in the interim, there Rav Hamnuna would concede it could be reawakened. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Mino Amino La, from where do I know that we do not hold from reawakening? Disnan Ha'oichel Chatzi Beitza Shinitmo Ba'avatuma V'chatzi Beitza Acheres Shinitmo Bevlad Hatuma Mitstarfim Zeim Zeh Bekal Shebishnehem. If you have food that was a Chatzi Beitza that had been had come into contact with an avatuma, and a second chatzi beitza that had come into contact with a vlad hatum, which we call it a rishon level of tuma. These two chatzi beitzim mitstarfim zeim zeh, they can join up with one another, letamei bekal shebishneim. They will have the tuma level as represented by the lesser of the two tuma levels. So if we elaborate a little bit more, food that came into contact with an avatuma would be a rishon, would be a first level. Food that came into contact with a vlad, a first level tuma, would have a sheni letuma status. So what is the rule here of the the joining together of these two half beitzim. If you have two half egg quantities of food joined together, you'll now have a full beitz of oichlim. What tumah level will these two halves, when they join, have? What tumah level will they contain? So the ruling is it will have the lighter tumah level from between the two, so that if the first half beitzah had a rishon status and the second half beitzah had a sheni status, when joined together they will together have a sheni, a second level of tumah. Now this idea that they will have a second level of tumah, there is an assumption that Rav Hamnuna makes, my lav, is it not so, afagav, the hodar malyo, is it not so that it will maintain this lower level of tumah, even if another half beitza that was nitma be'afa tumah joins up? In other words, even if you'll have a situation that you'll have a beitza and a half quantity of food, and this one and a half beitza quantity of food is made up of two half beitzas that were nitma be'av hatumah, namely they would be a rishon l'tumah between them, but nevertheless, this if a third half beitza joins up, the assumption is it won't go up to a first level of tumah, but it will stay at the lower level, indicating, as Rav Hamnuna said, that we don't have a reawakening. The Gemara rejects this and says dilma. Maybe that which is featured in this source of the that we just read in the frame is describing a situation where there isn't a third half beitza that joins up. In other words, it has the lower level of tumah as long as you keep it at its current status of these two chatzi beitzas of ochel. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking, a double underline, which is one of our series markings. We also have a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. We feature a double underline and indicate Mikrim Shoinim Shel Tziruf. Different examples of joinings up. This will, in effect, be a continuation of the opening piece of Gemara with the Chatzi Zesim of Chutz Lizmano and Chutz Lomkamo. Umachloikes alma toni bar kapora es mishnoso, and as we go on in the Gemara, we will see a controversy concerning what bar kapora's Tanaic source is relating to, which says the ein chatzi zayis moyul b'mokim kezayis. When we see the Gemara, we'll see bar kapora there's a source that bar kapora teaches. We will feature bar kapora in a house form, as you can see, is fairly prominent in the next few lines. He has a teaching that a chatzi zayas is not effective in the presence of a kezayas. And the question is, concerning what example did he say this rule? In our markings, and hopefully you will find that this makes the Gemara a lot more user-friendly, we will be using two different types of dashed underlines. One, the diagonal dashed underline, will be featuring the word Mekomo, and the horizontal dashed underline will be highlighting the word Zmano. As we go on in the Gemara, we will see how to deal with the Chatzi Zesim and their relative positions, Zman relative to Mokoim. Continuing now in the Gemara. Ki oso ravdimi, Omar. Chatzi zayis chutz limkomo. V'chatzi zayis chutz lizmanoi. V'chatzi zayis chutz lizmano. Notice, in this case, this is different than the case we had above. He starts off with a chatzi zayis of chutz limkomo. The issue of mekomo is what we call, in general, if you had a full quantity, it would be posel v'ein bo kores. It would ruin the korban by having this kind of chutz limkomo mindset if it were a full quantity, but the consumption of that korban would not result in kores, as opposed to chutz lizmano. So concerning this, the case of chatzi zayis chutz limkomo, chatzi zayis chutz lizmano, and another chatzi zayis chutz limzmano, toni bar kapora, pigul, that it's pigul. Why? Ein chatzizayas, the chatzizayas that started off here of chutz lemakomo, mo'il, it has no effectiveness in blocking the pigul, b'mokoyim kizayas, when you have a full kizayas of chutz lezmano, as we have over here. Ki osa Ravin, Omar. Ravin, we will see, disagrees with Rav Dimi. Ki osa Ravin, Omar. Chatzi zayis chutz lizmano. V'chatzi zayis chutz lizmano. V'chatzi zayis chutz limkomo. Regarding this case, Tony Bar Kapora would teach Pigul. Ein chatzi zayis moyel b'mokoyim kizayis. Why is it pigul? Because when you have a chatzizayas, it's ineffective in blocking a kizayas. But according to Ravin, the reason that the chutz l'mekomo is ineffective is because it's coming after a full zayas of chutz l'zmano was formed. However, Ravin, in looking at Rav Dimi's case, would say that, well, in that case, where the chutz lezmano didn't get started until there was already a chutz lemkomo in position. In other words, the chatzizayis chutz lemkomo preceded the first chatzizayis chutz lezmano. That first chatzizayis chutz lezmano joins with the chutz lemkomo, and its power is neutralized and won't allow and will not be allowed to be aroused by the fact that there is a second chatzizayis chutz lezmano afterwards. So therefore we can say that Rav Dimi, in his allowing for joinings up, is more inclusive. It assigns broader joining powers than does Ravin. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Ashi Masni Hochi. Rav Ashi teaches like Rava did above, and in fact Rashi points out goes a little bit further, but the example that we'll see here will be very similar to the case that Rava was addressing at the upper part of the page. I call it the sandwich case. What's the case Rav Ashi teaches? Chatzi zayis chutz lezmano ukechatzi Kezayis chetzio chutz lemkomo v'chetzio chutz lezmano. He starts off with a chatzizayis of chutz lezmano, and then he mentions that he's going to continue processing the korban with the intention of eating a kezayis, half of which is chutz lemkomo and half of which is chutz lezmano. So you notice, as far as the setup of things are concerned, it's parallel to the way Rava set it up. However, Rashi, which we will take a look at, points out that Rav Ashi goes a little bit further than Rava. The Rashi you'll see is on the lower part of the page, just a few lines up from the bottom of the page. Rav Ashi, ki Rava svirolei, d'amaliyel v'yikatz kiyoshin apigul. Rav Ashi accepts Rava's approach that there can be arousing of the original chatzizayis of chutz lezmano. V'afilu afseke b'machsheves mokoim, even though the first chatzizayis of zman is separated from the second chatzizayis of zman by a machsheves mokoim. V'adifa, and he goes, v'adifa d'Rav Ashi mid'Rava. And Rav Ashi goes further than Rava, the Ashmin and Rabusa. He tells us a bigger chiddush. Afagav de chashvinu lizman umokoim bechad dibura. Even though the last two half zesim were part of one dibur, the tzirfon besfosav lekezayis echad. As you saw in the Gemara, we have the second part of his statement is really concerns a full kezayis, half of which was Mokom and half of which was Zman. V'afilu hochi mitstaref lemino. Even though that second chatzizayis of chutz lezmano is part of a complete unit, a complete quantity of a zayis, it nevertheless is able to separate itself from the chutz lemokoim that it is attached to, and become attached to the first chatzi zayis that had stood independently. So regarding this case that Rav Ashi just taught, Toni bar kapara pigol. Why ein chatzi zayis? The chatzi zayis of chutz lemokom is ineffective. It's not ein chatzi zayis moyul b'mokoim kezayis. It's not effective when it's confronted by a full quantity, a full olive size of chutz lizmano. As you can see, we have a slash mark in our Gemara, and in our markings we use this to indicate that that which follows is a new idea. On the side of our Gemara we have an osei, a topic heading for this piece of Gemara. Chishev shiochluhu klovim lemocher. The person processing the korban does so with the mindset, with the thought that the korban will be eaten by dogs tomorrow. In other words, we're talking about an achila, but not of a person. An achila of dogs, chutz lizmano. We will also investigate achilas esh, where the one processing the korban says that he's slaughtering the korban, and almanas, that it will be consumed by a fire. And the issue that we'll discuss is, does the Loshen Achila, which generally speaking creates Pigel, is it appropriate when speaking about the Achila of something other than a person? Omar Rabbi Yanai, Chishev Shiochlugu Klovim Lemochor equals Pigel. It's also considered Pigel. Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Ves Izevel Yochlu HaKlovim B'chelik Yisrael. So we see from this Pasuk that the consumption of food on the part of dogs is referred to by the term achila as well. Now we have a question that lasts several lines, and you can see this by the long question marking, the kuf that represents kushya that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. Maskif lo Rebbe Ami. Elo me'ato. If that be so, if you're going to go so far as to say that which dogs consume food is called achila, chishev shetochluhu esh lemochar. If one were to offer a korban, to, let's say, slaughter a korban with the intention of it being consumed by a fire, dichtiv tochluhu esh loinoifach. You see in this pasuk the word esh is used in conjunction with the word tochlu, achila. Hochi nami de pigul. Are you going to say that that would also create pigul? Just because you see the word achila in conjunction with something else, that's going to create pigul. Vechitema hochi nami, and if you say, yep, that does create pigul. Vehotnan. But we have the following Tanaic source that would teach to the contrary. It says, if a person shechted a korban, le'echol kechatzi zayas ulahaktir kechatzi zayas kosher. Lahaktir has to do with consumption by fire. We can call that, you know, that's achila al yedei esh. And it says that it doesn't join up with the first chatzizayas, which was also a machshava of achila. The source says it's kosher. She'en achila v'haktora mitzdarfen. Achila and haktora don't join up. And we labeled haktora as achila hayadei esh. And if it were like you are claiming that achila done by things other than people is also called achila, because you find references to this in a pasuk, so these two achilas should have joined up to form a shiur, a quantity of pigul. The Gemara answers, "E da'afka b'loshen achila." If the chatzi zayis that would be consumed by a fire was expressed by the person processing the korban using the expression le'echol, then hochi nami, then in fact it would join up. Hacha b'may askinan, in this source that we just quoted that indicated they're not mitzdaref, the afka b'loshen haktora, he used the term haktora. He said, "I'm slaughtering the korban. I'll minas that I will eat a chatzizayas. Let's say lemochar the aktir chatzizayas lemochar." So since he used an unparalleled expression, the loshan achilu luchud, the loshan aktora luchud, the expression of achila is by itself; it's separate. And the Lashon, the expression of Haktara, is separate. So it's all a matter of language. It's how you phrase it. So if he phrased his thoughts using two different expressions, so it cannot join up. However, if he would have used the same verb of eating, of achila, accounting for the person and the fire, so those two half zesim would have joined up to form a complete quantity, a shiur kezayas. We have now a new geometric form, and we've put a slash in the Gemara with the thought in mind that this is a new piece of Gemara that's not dependent on that which came just before. The section of Gemara we were just dealing with had to do with what is comes under the category of what can fall under the category of achila. Here we're going to go back to a topic maybe discussed earlier, the issue of tziruf, of joining up. So under our notes on the side, we have a structural note featuring the triangle. Shnei she'elois be'inyan tziruf be'kesher lepigel. Two questions the Gemara will raise. One is here, and you can see a second triangle on the second line from the top of Amud Beis. Another question concerning joining up of quantities regarding pigel. The nosei, the topic here, is chishev lechol kezayas bein shnei b'nei odom. Person slaughtered an animal, a sacrifice, with the intention that a kezayas would be eaten tomorrow by two people. In other words, two people would share a kezayas. Does that form, or does that constitute a machsheves pigel? Now, in the Gemara, boy Rav Ashi, chishev lechol kezayas b'shnei b'nei odom mahu. The one processing the korban expressed the thought that one kezayas shall be eaten by two people tomorrow, or outside the right time. Mahu. And the question is presented with two possibilities, aleph, oy, beis. In this case, it doesn't say the standard o dilma, but it's the same idea, and we've squiggle underlined the o, the transition expression. So, Bosor Machshava Azlinon, the Iko Shiuro, do we follow the expressed thought, the intention of the one processing the korban? If we emphasize the intention of the processor of the korban was for a kezayas to be eaten. And therefore, you, the Iko Shiuro, you have the required quantity to form pigel. Oi Bosor Oichlin Azlinon, Veleko Shiuro, or do we emphasize the people that are going to eat it, the eaters? And since there are two people eating this one kezayas, when you look at the from the eater's standpoint, you don't have the required shiur, you don't have the required quantity, and hence there would not be pigel. Omar Abaye Toshma. So Abaye says, let's come in here from the following Tanaic source. The proof that Abaye will bring, or the answer that he brings or supplies, is based on an inference that we'll try to draw from the following source. It says, Le'echol kechatzizayis, ulahaktir kechatzizayis. If the korban is processed with this expressed intent that a chatzizayis shall be eaten at the wrong time, and another chatzizayis shall be offered on the altar at the wrong time, kosher, that korban is unaffected by these improper thoughts. Shein achilu v'haktora mitzdarfin. That achila and haktora, being that they are two different actions, they don't join up to complete the required shear of a kezayas. We can infer, though, ha le'echol v'le'echol, dumya de le'echol u'le'haktir, case of two achilas, similar to the case of the achilan haktora. What did we see in the case of achilan haktora? We didn't see a zayas sholem. We didn't see a complete zayas for one of the eaters. We saw a chatzi zayas lechol and a chatzi zayas laktir. So, in a parallel case, however, involving two eaters, that's parallel to the case featured in the source. In other words, it's a case that we will infer from the source. The hechidami, and how is that? How do you have a case of le'echol ve'le'echol b'shnei b'nei adam, where you have two people involved? So in that case, since we're drawing this as an inference from that, from the source that was stated, in this case of shnei b'nei adam mitztaref, it would join up. Once again, in the case of le'echol u'lahaktir, there we say they don't join up. But le'echol ve'le'echol, that's similar to the case of le'echol u'lahaktir, that would join up. Shma mino. So from this, we prove that we follow the express, the machshava, and we don't emphasize the eaters. And in the machshava, in the thought of the one processing the korban, he had a thought concerning a zayas, a quantity to be eaten, albeit by two people, but a zayas quantity being eaten at the wrong time. And hence, that creates pigul. Boy, Rava. Chishev lechol kezayas beyeser michte achilas pras mahu. Before we go on in the Gemara, we should make a general statement that when the Torah either commands something to be eaten, as the case of eating matzah on Pesach, on the Seder night, or all the different cases of forbidden foods, the idea of eating, whether it be in the fulfillment of a mitzvah or in the violation of a sin, this is provided that the eating is done within a certain limited time frame. This time frame is called kedei achilas pras. How long that is on a practical halachic level, it's not the purview of our shiurim to deal with applied halacha, but suffice it to say, you'll find opinions that say that kedei achilas pras is in the vicinity of 4 minutes, for argument's sake. There are other shiurim, other opinions on this matter, but for our purposes, 4 minutes will be the amount that we'll use as our example. Hence, if someone, let us say, eats a kezias quantity of forbidden meat, if he spends a long time eating it, in other words, it takes him more than 4 minutes to eat it, so he will not be in violation of the Torah prohibition of eating the forbidden meat. When we say the Torah violation, we're referring to the case of receiving an oinesh, a punishment for it. There's a separate sugya that many of you may be aware of called Chatzi Shir Osir Min HaTorah, but we're not touching on that. We're talking more about the Isur with the resultant oinish. Let us say in our case, or let's just once again make a general statement, the shiur achila of the Torah, generally speaking, is a shiur that one accomplishes when it's toch kedei achilas pras, when it's done within 4 minutes. Here Rava raises a question that says, chishev lechol kezayas, the person processing the korban expresses an intention of eating the required quantity to create pigul, namely a kezayas quantity of meat. However, he says that he'll do it b'yeser michtei achilas pras, in the amount of time that is longer than is generally accepted in the definition of achila. Mahu. So what's the din with regard to this case and pigul? And you'll see here the question is presented in two parts. Aleph, O, Beis. The O is squiggle underline, as we explained earlier. The first side is L'achilas gavoa midaminon lei. Do we compare a person's eating to achilas gavoa as a reference to the consumption of the food on the mizbeach? Gavoa meaning the Almighty, so to speak, but we're talking about the way we offer sacrifices to the Almighty, and that's on the altar. And when on the altar, sometimes it takes a long time for the meat to be consumed by the fire, or the innards to be consumed by the fire. So we see that one accomplishes achilas gavoa through a time period greater than achilas pras. As we said, sometimes things don't burn so quickly. So do we compare the dinim of pigul to achilas gavoa, and hence we would not be restricted, let's say, to the 4-minute time frame? Oy l'achilas hedyot medamin alay, or do we parallel the machsheves achila chutz lizmano to the standard person consumption, which is governed by the shiur zman of kedei achilas pras? Omar Abaye Toshma. So Abaye attempts to supply an answer, and we're going to call this a long answer with a long answer marking demonstrating the length of it by noticing the written in circled tuff to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line following. Abaye Omar Abaye Toshma Lecho Kechatzi Zayis. This is the source that we've seen quoted already several times in today's shiur. Kosher, this korban remains unaffected. It remains kosher. She'ein achilo v'haktoro mitzdarfin. Because of the principle that we expressed earlier, that the two different actions don't join up. Achilo and haktoro being two different actions. So we want to draw an inference. Taimo d'lecho l'haktir. The reason that there's no tziruf is because it's represented here by two different actions, each one not having the required quantity of a kezayis. But we will infer ha lechol ulechol. However, if it would have been lechol velechol, two chatzizesim in the same action, leaving all the other variables the same, mitzarif, then there would have been a joining up. Now, when we say leaving all the other variables the same, in the source itself, we saw haktora. We saw a chatzizayas of haktora featured. And we said that its only problem in not leading up to a case of pingle was because it wasn't joining up with another haktora. It was joining, presented together with achila, which is a different action. However, if you would have two chatzizesim of the same action, they would have been mitzarif. V'ho haktora b'yoyser mechdei achilas prashu, and it can't be denied that haktora itself was something that would take longer than the 4-minute amount of time, and that in and of itself didn't present a problem. So we see that achila of yoyser mechdei achilas pras in the realm of pigul is considered a legitimate type of achila to create pigul. The Gemara rejects this by questioning the basic assumption. The basic assumption had been that haktora is yoyser mechdei achilas pras. Dilma the hesek gadol. Hesek is a flame, a large fire, in which things are consumed, are burnt up rather quickly within the shiur of kedei achilas pras, so that one can't derive a conclusion like Abaye tried by citing the case of haktora, because it could be that the example of haktora featured in the source was a hesek gadol, where things were actually consumed rather quickly by the fire. We continue in the Gemara with a quote from the Seifa. Lecho kechatzi zayis, ulahaktir kechatzi zayis kosher. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our nosei, our topic heading, in the outside margin. Under the nosei, we've written in ha dikotoni seifa demasnisin, that which is taught in the latter part of the Mishnah, le'echol kechatzi zayis, laktir chatzi zayis kosher. De'ein mitzdarfen, they don't join up. My also lashminan. What is the Mishnah trying to tell us what is the role of the Sefer? We will see markings featuring a house, amongst other things, under our Mivneh heading. The word Ha will be emphasized with a house marking. Diyukim mima shikonetoni. These will be inferences drawn from that which was taught. And the diamonds that we will see are tshuvos letaretz uliyashev hasefa imaresha. They will be attempts to resolve or to explain the sefa together with the resha of the Mishnah. So as we continue in the Gemara, Taimo de lecho lahaktir. The Sefer taught us about a korban that remained kosher, and that's because the Sefer featured a case of two different actions, achila and haktara, and we said that they don't join up. Ha le'echol ve'le'echol dovor shein darko le'echol mitzaref. We could infer from this that if he would have stated the two chatzizesim using the same action, the same verb, namely achila, even though the achila might have been the achila of something that is not normally consumed, because what we're doing is we're drawing an inference only as far as we're inferring what happens when you change the actions, but keeping all the other variables the same. Namely, when talking about haktorah, what are you maktir? You're maktir, let us say, the innards of a korban. So if we would maintain the innards as our example, as far as the inference is concerned as well, we would come out by saying that if you say le'echol haktir, that doesn't join up. However, if you would have le'echol, to eat a chatzizayas, and again le'echol, another chatzizayas, even though you would have been eating the same thing that would have been consumed in the case of lahaktir, namely the eburim, that would join up. That's what we're inferring from the seifa of the Mishnah, that an achila of a dover she'ein darko le'echol could join up with a chatzizayas of something that's darko le'echol. But ha'kotoni reisha, le'echol as darko le'echol is darko le'echol. The resha of the Mishnah teaches that when do you have pigol? Only when you have thoughts concerning something that is normally consumed, namely the meat, not the innards. And we infer from this, es shedarko le'echol in. If you have thoughts concerning something that's normally eaten, then yes, in means yes, then there is pigol. She'ein darko lo. If it's a thought concerning something that's not normally eaten, then it doesn't form pigul, and it wouldn't mitzaref. If we emphasize our dashed underlines, we will see the problem of the Gemara. The first dashed underline features dover she'ein darko le'echol mitzaref. The second dashed underline features she'ein darko lo. It wouldn't mitzaref. Omar Rebbe Yirmiyah. Ha'moni, the Seifa of our Mishnah that teaches that an ein, that said ein achila v'aktor mitzarfin, but achila and an achila of a dover shein darko lecho would mitzaref, this is ha'moni Rebbe Eliezer Hi. This seifa is taught by Rebbe Eliezer. It's a unique sheet of Tanoim. De Omar mechashvin meachilas odom lachilas mizbeach, lachilas mizbeach, lachilas odom. That one can have what we've termed in earlier shiurim a cross machshava, a crossing of machshavas. What do we mean by that? That one can think about eating that which the Mizbeach eats, so to speak. Or he can think about giving to the Mizbeach something that people eat. This, of course, is provided you use the word achila consistently. Disnan, here we will bring a source that features Rebbe Eliezer in this, at the end of it. Hashochid es hazevach lechol dover she'ein darko lechol ulahaktir dover she'ein darko lahaktir. Kosher, one who slaughters a sacrifice with the intention of eating something that is not ordinarily eaten, namely the innards, or to offer on the mizbeach something that's not ordinarily offered on the mizbeach, the korban remains unaffected. Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer says that such a machshava does take effect. And why is that? Because he holds that mechashvin me achilas mizbeach le achilas adam, that one's thought concerning an item that ordinarily would be consumed by the altar, if one thinks to eat that which is ordinarily consumed by the altar, that type of mindset of thought takes effect. Of course, we are presenting our examples sometimes in a rather abbreviated form. Let's not forget, we're talking about all of these cases have to do with eating these things after the time lapses. If the wrong is called chutz lizmano. Abaye Omar. Abaye is another attempt to explain what the role of the Seifa is. Up till now, we saw Rav Yirmiyah saying that the Seifa doesn't necessarily conflict with the Reisha, in the sense that the Seifa represents a second opinion, another opinion of Tanoim. Abaye Omar, Afilu Teima Rabbonan. We can say that the Seifa is authored by the Rabbonan. And Lo Teima, don't draw your inference as ha le'echol ve'le'echol dover she'ein darko le'echol, and then suggest that would mitstaref. Elo emo, rather make your diuk of the seifa as follows: ha le'echol ve'le'echol dover she'darko le'echol. In other words, the seifa itself states what is not mitstaref. Le'echol ulahaktir. Those were two different actions. However, le'echol v'le'echol, things to eating of two chatzi zesim, of things that are normally eaten, that would mitzdarif, that would join up. The Gemara asks a long question. My komash malon, what's the chiddush of that? What is the seifa telling me? E dovar shedarko le'echol komash malon. If it's trying to tell me that pigol results from the thoughts concerning things that one normally eats, and one thinks about eating those things at the wrong time, may resha shamas mina, from the resha I learn the concept of tziruf, of the joining up of chatzi zesim, where it said in the resha kechatzi zayas bachutz. Kechatzi zayas lamochar, posel. We see from the resha already the concept of tziruf. I don't need the seifa to teach me this idea. E lecho ulahaktir. If the seifa is to be taught, is being understood at face value, simply to tell me that achila and haktora are not mitzaref, I don't really need the seifa to spell that out. Mi dukyo dereisho shamas mino. I could have learned that from an inference drawn from the resha, from the first part of the Mishnah, as follows: lechol davar shedarko lechol. In when does pigol happen? When you have thoughts concerning that which is normal to eat. She'ein darko lecholo. However, if one would have thoughts of achila, of emurim, let us say, so that would not create pigol. Now, hashto uma lechol velechol dover shein darko lecholo mitzaref. If you're going to tell me that even though you have the same action, but one of the chatzi zesim concerns a dover shein darko lechol, that is not mitzaref. Once again, the emphasis here on the action, namely that lecho v'lecho won't be mitzaref. So lecho lahaktir mi boi, a case of lecho and lahaktir, do I need to be taught? That's posha, that's obvious that they would not be mitzaref. So the Seifa, if it's trying to teach me the idea of Lechol Haktir is not Mitzdaref, that could have been derived from an inference from the Reisha. The Gemara answers that in fact the case of Lechol Lahaktir is less obvious in the realm of non-siruf than the Reisha. Lechol ulahaktir itzterich. And in simpler terms, I need the Seifa to teach me its teaching on face value, namely the gufe for itself, to teach me this very point that achilon haktara, not mitzdarif. Salko daito chamino hosam hu delav kiurche komachashev. If I was left to draw an inference from the case of the Reisha, where we said a few lines up, lechol lahachti ulvelechol, dover shein darko lechol, there I would say there is no tsiruf there, because he was thinking about something of an abnormal nature, namely to eat the emurim. So to expect the joining up of a chatzizayas of bosar and the machshava of a chatzizayas of eating of emurim, that I understand there's no tsiruf. Avol hacha, but in the case of the seifa, debahai ki urche ubahai ki urche, where he has a machshava of a chatzizayas of eating a chatzizayas of meat, which is a normal thing to do, and the machshava of being maktir, of burning on the mizbeach a chatzizayas of emurim chutz lizmana, which is a normal thing to do also. Emol etzarif, let there be tziruf to normal chatzizayim actions. Maybe two, even though they're different actions, but they're two, they have in common that they're both normal. So that's what I would have thought without the Seifa, that they would, that type of machshava would be mitzaref. Komash malon, therefore I need the Seifa to teach me that lechol lahaktir, even though each one in and of itself is a normal action, that they are not mitzaref. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.